I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, the verses 1 through 13. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go ye out to meet him!" Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his word. Dear friends, have you ever had to go to an important meeting unprepared? Maybe it was a business meeting, or a meeting relating to school or family matters. You knew the meeting was coming up, but other things stood in the way. You just couldn't get everything organized on time. And consequently, you went to the meeting unprepared, or you missed it altogether. These things can happen. And when they do, they can produce many unwanted consequences. But there is one meeting we must be prepared for. It is our meeting with the Lord on the day of his return in glory. We come in our study of the parables of the kingdom to the parable of the wise and foolish virgins or maidens. Jesus spoke this parable while he was on the Mount of Olives, just a few days before his crucifixion. Our Lord had just informed his disciples about the signs that would precede his second coming. And following that, he warned them in verse 44 that he would come when they least expected him. Therefore, they should always be on guard. They should always be watching and ready. And now to reinforce this, Jesus told the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And it's to this parable that I draw your attention to today. Our theme is the necessary watchfulness of the kingdom. And we'll see that this watchfulness is first of all sadly neglected, and secondly, amply rewarded. The events of the parable before us take place on the wedding day of a young couple. On this day, Jesus says, 10 virgins, 10 young, unmarried women, took lamps, probably torches, and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, according to the custom of those days, on the wedding day, the bridegroom would retreat with his friends to a secluded spot outside the town or village where he lived. And there they would celebrate the coming event. Meanwhile, the bride would go to the house of her husband-to-be, and with the assistance of her maidens, begin to make herself ready for the celebration and the ceremony that would take place later on that evening. At around supper time, the maidens would go out of the house and wait for the bridegroom with their lamps burning. Now, these lamps were small vessels made of clay, with a spout on the one end and a handle on the other. Inside the vessels was olive oil and a wick. They would light the wick, which would then be fueled by the oil inside the vessel. And this is what is being described here. 10 young women, 10 attendants of the bride, took lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, why there were 10 is not clear. Some have said that this was the custom in those days. It was customary to have 10 maidens. Others have pointed out that the number 10 in Jewish reckoning is a number of fullness. So just as there are 10 commandments, and just as Egypt was afflicted with 10 plagues, so there are 10 virgins. But it really doesn't matter. The number of maidens is not significant. What is significant is the fact that of these 10 maidens, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. There were not more foolish maidens than wise maidens, nor were there more wise maidens than foolish maidens. There was an equal number of both, suggesting that the visible church consists of a good number of both. Now, the words wise and foolish are also very prominent words in the Bible, especially in the wisdom books of the Bible. I think particularly the book of Proverbs. Wisdom in the Bible is very practical. The wise in the Bible are those who take what they know to be true and apply that knowledge to various circumstances of life for their benefit and the benefit of others around them. And as such, the truly wise are never caught off guard. They are prepared for every eventuality. The foolish, however, do not. They simply do whatever seems right at the moment. Nor do they understand the consequences of acting or failing to act in a certain way. And that becomes clear from what follows. For we read that soon after leaving the bride, the maidens arrived at the place where they were going to meet the bridegroom. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. But he did not show up. Eventually, we are told, it became dark and the maidens became sleepy. Some were just starting to doze off, others were already fast asleep. And then suddenly, at midnight, they heard a voice. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go ye out to meet him!" Most likely this was the voice of one of the bridegroom's attendants. He was signaling to the maidens and to the bride that the bridegroom was on his way, and therefore they should get ready to meet him. Upon hearing this, the maidens awoke with a start. The bridegroom was coming at last. And so, Jesus says, they trimmed their lamps, meaning they adjusted the wicks in their lamps so that they would burn more brightly. And then they went out to meet the bridegroom. But as they were trimming their lamps, Jesus says, the 5 foolish virgins noticed that they had no more oil. Most likely it was all used up while they were sleeping. And so they asked the 5 wise maidens to give them some of their oil. But the 5 wise maidens refused, on the grounds that if they gave them some of their oil, they might not have enough for themselves. And so instead they advised them to go into the village and buy some more, and so that's what they did. Now we can learn several lessons from this. We learn, first of all, how much Christ loves his church. This is clear from the imagery used in this parable. The bridegroom represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride and her maidens represent the church. Just as the bridegroom loves his bride, so Christ loves his church. In fact, he loved her from all eternity. He loved her so much, in fact, that he came to this earth. He assumed our flesh and blood. He suffered and died and rose again so that he might redeem her unto himself. And now he is in heaven, gathering and defending and preserving his church and preparing a place for her, so that when he comes again, he may take her to himself, and they will live and reign together forever. Oh, do you realize that, dear believer? Do you realize how much Christ loves you? Oh, never doubt his love for you. He loves you infinitely more than the most love-struck bridegroom that ever lived. We learn here, secondly, that the church loves Christ. Yes, just as the bride loves her bridegroom, so the church loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She loves Christ for who he is in the fullness of all of his attributes. She loves him for his care, for his compassion, his devotion, his selflessness, his courage, his boldness, his authority, his tenderness, his grace, his love, his gentleness. She loves him too for what he has done, for suffering and dying on the cross to pay the penalty for her sins. She loves him so much that she cannot wait to be with him. She cannot wait to see him, to embrace him, and to hold him. He is more dear to her than anything that this world has to offer. Is that not true, dear believer? Do you not love Christ more than anything? Is it not your heartfelt desire with the Apostle Paul to depart from this life and to be with Christ, which is far better? Is it not your daily prayer, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus? Like the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, the believer is sick with love for Christ. She loves him with the deepest and the strongest love imaginable. Such is the love that Christ, that the church has for Christ. Thirdly, we learn here that like the bridegroom in the parable, one day Christ will come and fetch his bride, the church. Now, many people today doubt that. And there were even such people in New Testament times. In 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, Peter says that in the last days there will be scoffers who, walking after their own lusts, will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." The people to whom Peter was referring were professing believers, but they were confused. They expected Christ to come back soon after he ascended into heaven, but he didn't. And consequently, they questioned whether he was coming back at all. But beloved, make no mistake, Christ is coming. And when that day will be, we do not know. In the passage that we just read together, Jesus himself says that that day is known only by his Father. What is more, from our perspective, it appears as though his coming has been delayed indefinitely, but he is coming. Of that we may be absolutely certain. And the fourth thing we learn here is that we must be prepared for the coming of Christ. In fact, that's the main point of this parable. In verse 13, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Jesus says something similar in chapter 24, verse 42. "Watch therefore," he says, "for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And he repeats the same thing twice in order to impress on us the seriousness of this exhortation. Well, what does it mean exactly? What does it mean to watch? Well, it most certainly does not mean being preoccupied with the signs of the times and various prophecies concerning the second coming of Christ, much less trying to predict the exact time of Christ's return. There is in Christian bookstores today a plethora of books and videos all about the end times, most of which are purely speculative and fanciful. And while we should indeed be aware of the signs of the times, and while we should also try to understand the prophecies concerning the second coming of Christ using sound rules of interpretation, we should not become preoccupied with these things. The Bible contains many other teachings that, quite frankly, are far more important. But what then does it mean to watch? Well, it means simply to be prepared. Isn't this what the five foolish maidens failed to do? All 10 maidens knew that their task was to go out and meet the bridegroom when he came and to escort him into the house. Anticipating that he might be late, the wise maidens took with them extra oil, but the foolish maidens did not. The wise were prepared, the foolish were not. And that's what made the wise maidens wise and the foolish maidens foolish. foolish. And now the question comes to us today. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet the bridegroom? Not if, but when he comes. Well, yes, my friends, make no mistake, he is coming. He said so himself. And what is more, he is coming when we least expect it. The maidens did not expect the bridegroom to come at midnight, but that's when he came. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come on a day and an hour when we least expect it, like a thief in the night. And the question is, are you ready? Are you prepared to meet him? You say, how can I get prepared? Well, you must repent of your sins. And you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where preparation begins. No one is ready to meet the bridegroom unless he has been truly converted by the Word and Spirit of God. And if you're not converted, if you have never repented and believed on the Savior, I urge you to go to him, to ask him to show mercy on you. And he will, for he is a willing and a gracious Savior. But that isn't all. If we are truly watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus, that will manifest itself in our life. You see, those who are watching and waiting for the Lord's return, the wise, do not live for the world and the things of the world. Oh yes, they enjoy this world and all the good things that it has to offer. There's nothing wrong with that, but their heart is not in it. They are like Abraham and the patriarchs, strangers and pilgrims, just passing through, making their way to another country and to a city whose builder and maker is God. Well, to be sure, sometimes, like the maidens in the parable, they become drowsy waiting for the Lord's return. Some even fall asleep. They get sidetracked. They get caught up in the affairs of this life, and as a result, they don't look forward to our Lord's return as much as they should, and they're not prepared, they're not waiting, they're not watching. But they are ready. They have extra oil with them. And when the bridegroom comes, they are ready to meet him. The foolish are not like this. Oh, to be sure, for a while they too, like the wise maidens, are watching and waiting for the Lord's return. But after a while, like the seed that fell among the thorny soil, so they become distracted by the world and the things of the world. And eventually they come to love the world more than they love Christ. And consequently, when he comes, they will be caught off guard and unprepared to meet him, proving that they were never truly converted to Christ. The question comes to us today, which of these are you? Are you wise or are you foolish? Well, the admonition of our text is so clear. The Lord is coming. Get ready to meet him. Are you ready? Well, if so, then you will be amply rewarded. And that brings us to our second point. The foolish maidens went into the village to buy more oil. But when they returned, we read that the bridegroom had already come and left, together with the five wise maidens. So what did they do? Well, they went immediately to his home, where the festivities were well underway. And they went there in the hope and the expectation that they would be welcomed in. But much to their shock, the door was shut. And so they knocked. But no one answered. And they knocked again. And this time they cried, pleading, "Lord, Lord, open to us." At long last, the bridegroom came to the door. He opened it and looked at them, but he said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Now what we have here is a picture of what will take place on the day of judgment. On that day, Jesus says in Matthew 7, there will be many who will say to him, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Who are these people? Well, like the foolish virgins, they are members of the visible church, professing Christians who thought they were saved and therefore fully expected to be allowed into the kingdom of heaven, but they were not. Now perhaps you say, well, if they were not truly saved, how could they have prophesied in his name? How could they have cast out devils in his name? How could they have done many wonderful works in his name? There's a mystery here, no doubt. But the Bible does teach that sometimes God gives people power to do great things without truly being converted to God. Think, for example, of Balaam, who prophesied concerning the coming of the Messiah, or Saul, who prophesied among the prophets so that they said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Or the seven sons of Sceva who had the power to exorcise demons. Such was the case here. These people did many great things in the name of Christ, and on that basis, they thought they would be allowed into the kingdom, but they were mistaken. For their works notwithstanding, they were never truly converted to God. And as a result, Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, what can we learn from this? We learn, first of all, how great is the reality of self-deception. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we have a prime example of that here. These foolish virgins were convinced that they would be allowed into the marriage feast, but they were mistaken. They thought they were saved, but they weren't. My friends, this is why we need to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." 2 Peter 1, verse 10, Peter writes, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." The Holy Spirit tells us these things not to take away our joy and our assurance, not to cause us to doubt and to fear, but because he knows how prone we are to think well of ourselves and to think that we are saved when in fact we are not, and there's nothing more deadly than that. And so let us take the warnings of Scripture and this parable to heart. Let us examine ourselves whether we are in the faith and make our calling and election sure. Secondly, we learn here that the time to prepare for the coming of Christ is now. You'll notice it was while the foolish maidens were in the village buying more oil that the bridegroom came. They probably thought they had plenty of time to make it back, otherwise they would not have gone. But they were mistaken, for when they got back, he had already come and gone. And there are still many people like that today in the church. They think that they have plenty of time to get ready to meet the Lord. Consequently, they never give their soul or eternity much thought. They simply go on day after day, year after year, living for the world and the things of the world. "Tomorrow," they say, "then I'll seek the Lord. Then I'll start to take spiritual things more seriously. But right now, now's not the time. Now I'm too busy. Now I want to enjoy life and all the things that it has to offer." Such people are sadly mistaken, dear friends, for death can come at any time. And then they will have to stand before the Lord. Only then it will be too late. And that's why the language of the Bible is today, not tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. Not when you're older, for you don't know if you'll get older. Not when you're on your deathbed, for you don't know if you will have a deathbed. But today, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Do not put off to tomorrow what can and must be done today. Thirdly, we learn here that when Christ comes, it will be a day of great rejoicing. Consider the parable again. Where was the bridegroom going with the wise maidens? Well, he was going to his home. And what was he going to do there? Well, he was going to have a great feast and a celebration, and there would be eating and drinking and dancing and music and laughter, and it would last for several days. This is a picture, you see, of a much greater celebration to come, the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. The Bible teaches that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he will prepare for his people a great banquet. And they will sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the saints, including all of our loved ones who have entered into glory before us. And at the head of the table will be Christ himself, and we will rejoice in God and fellowship with each other, not just for a few days even, but for an everlasting eternity. What a glorious prospect. What wonderful blessings Christ has in store for those who love him. Our friend, will you also be there? Oh, the Lord Jesus is willing to have you be there. If you come to him in faith and in repentance, he's willing to save you and to adopt you as his child and to give you a place at that banquet supper of the Lamb of God. But be prepared. Make sure your lamp is burning brightly. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Dear friends, it's always a great blessing and encouragement to us to hear from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, and Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's banneroftruthradio, one word, .com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can do so by sending us a check in any amount, or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your loving support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.